Look to the heavens and see it shine. And relax. The Hooters and Satellite. Well, was it going to be a cover version that Sandra Dee is going to do? Who knows? We're going to find out in a few moments, because it's a delight as ever to welcome back that ace Durham songstress. It's Sandra Dee. Rather, Sarah Dee. Let's get it right, for goodness sakes. Isn't it bad enough that you've actually almost cut her off in midstream by just double-checking that thing was there?
I did have to double-check myself that it wasn't Sandra Dee.
Sometimes it's just the excitement of saying it's Sarah Dee back with us again. How are you, Sarah?
I'm very well, thank you. Thank you for having me back on again.
Good. Well, Sarah, new single, time to actually release a whole variety of other bits and pieces. And not a sleeping satellite, as in Tasmin Archer, not indeed other satellites relating to the potential of the Hooters, as we heard, or Lou Reed's Satellite of Love, or indeed Regal Sister and Satellite, or indeed Little Boots Satellite. None of those things, an original Sarah Dee satellite.
Yes, it is, yeah. It's more of a metaphor for a little song about love and guidance, actually. So it's kind of the metaphor for the song, yeah.
Mm. Well, we have two midweek drivettes who are about to cast their creative ear over the whole thing. One of whom actually selected in the early part of the programme a Neil Young classic, Harvest Moon. That, of course, was Rebecca Duncan. Rebecca, are you ready to actually wear your musical critical hat here and have a listen to Sarah Dee's Satellite?
Absolutely, sure.
And Shaylee, does the same thing go for your good self?
Definitely, yeah.
And I just alert you to the fact, Sarah, that both Shaylee and Rebecca were born in South Africa. Not that that's got anything to do with the whole thing, but, you know.
Thanks for informing me.
Well, it's important to know where in the globe they're based from, because it could be, you know, who knows what the Coriolanus sort of effect would actually go through in
Sarah. It means we have better taste, so.
Oh, okay.
Sarah, would you like to introduce yourself with this little number, which is going to be awesome, called Satellite? Over to you, please.
This is my third single. This is Satellite, and this is by me, Sarah Dee.
This satellite makes me feel oh so small, lost and alone. Do you know what it's like? And you make me feel oh so tall, high as the moon. It's so amazing with you. My side.
you need a round of applause.
Thank you.
But applause is one thing, and a sneak preview video of wandering through the streets of some godforsaken
like
northern
light,
wasteland.
Yeah.
It was like a northern wasteland with power cables. I'm glad she was wrapped up warm when she actually did that video.
I'm looking
forward to the whole thing. That's just as naught before we actually find out the views on satellite. So let's go to you first, Rebecca Duncan.
Yes. I thought that was such a beautiful song, and it was really executed really well in the video as well. I just wanted to ask you, what was the inspiration behind that, the writing of the song?
Well, I don't actually write the song myself. I obviously get to decide the song and change lyrics if I want to. Mm-hmm. I just like the depth to it. It's not a depressing song as such. It's got a bit of an uplifting feeling about it, so that's why I kind of chose it, because it was slightly different, and I just like the kind of the meaning behind it as well. For me personally, obviously everyone will adapt to the song differently, because it's how people kind of view a song. Everyone's got their own opinions of what it means to them, but for me it was a kind of a guidance song, and the satellites the guidance throughout the song, so that's why I chose it, yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Like a personalised GPS, really, you know, which you obviously need if you're stuck in the middle of a black and white field somewhere in your particular life story. Shaylee?
Yeah, no, really enjoyed it. It had a real 90s ballad vibe to it, which I've definitely got time for. In terms of, like, artists, who is your main inspiration and, like, who made you want to sing?
Who made me want to sing?
Yeah.
Well, I do like Adele. Clearly,
because it's a bit more like an Adele ballad.
Yeah. I don't know whether you've listened to two of my other singles as well. So with this one, I kind of wanted to change it around, because we're trying to find what artist I am, what I suit, what audience and everything else. So for me, this is a different path with this particular song.
Interesting.
To kind of find out where I sit within the industry as well.
Yeah. So what's your previous stuff? What's that been like?
It's a bit more retro, kind of Amy Winehouse-esque Motown kind of thing.
Nice.
That's also online as well, if anyone would like to view it. It's at Sarah D Artist. You can find that on YouTube as well, with my black and white one that I've just put up today for this particular single. So I feel like it's this song, I just like the depth of it. I don't know what it was about it. I just connected with it, so hopefully other people will connect with it as well.
Definitely. I think it's one of those ones where it's relatable to everybody out there. And like you said, people can find their own meaning in it, which is what makes or breaks a song.
And Sarah, there's only 168 hours before it's actually released and available. Actually, less than that, 160 hours.
And it can be found on iTunes and Amazon.
8th of November. And you can also follow Sarah D at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, at Sarah D Artist. It's wonderful. Clearly, you asked for some more Sarah D. We'll play you more Sarah D. Not
Let's
today, though.
This.
Somebody needs to be packed into the whole thing, because we need to ask those last two questions. Go for it, Shaylee. What do we need to ask Sarah, please?
Sarah D, not Sandra D. Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today, babe?
I have very much. Thanks for having me again.
Excellent. And can we rely on you in the future, perhaps?
Yes, of course. I'll be back.
So, and incidentally, whereabouts in the northeast did you actually film the monochrome video?
It was more kind of Yarmway, Stockton-Yarmway.
I thought I recognised the old Yarm scenario there. The aqueduct, of course.
Just in a random field, nothing in particular.
There are lots of random fields there. You can take the train going from Allen's West, Dinsdale, Darlington. It's all the greats.
I've never heard of any of those places.
Far away places with strange-sounding names. You know, Eagles.
It looks beautiful, though.
If you like fields, it's very good indeed.
It's a great place to go.
It's awesome. Coming up next, Rachel Abbott from On Broadcast via the Birds.
Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song. swirling ship. All my senses have been stripped, and my hands can't feel to grip, and my toes too numb to step. Wait only for my boot heels to be wandering. I'm ready to go anywhere. I'm ready for to fade onto my own parade. Past your dancing spell my way. I promise to go under it. Sleepy, and there ain't no place I'm going to. Hey, Mr. Tambourine Man, play a song for me. In the jingle jangle morning, I'll come following you.
Of course, when you're seeking out new idents and putting together idents together, there are certain idents and stingers, as we refer to them on Siren Radio or in the trade, which are just so awesome, they're timeless, quite frankly timeless. And one of those has to be, quite frankly, this one.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM, guaranteed to keep you safe from giant lizards.
Yes, the voice of Rachel Abbott doing the giant lizards jingle, which even now people, I mean, if Amy and Andrew are actually there, you should actually treat Rachel with awe and reverence, because the giant lizards one, it was just nailed it. First takes, amazing. Awesome. It's a long tail, almost as long as Bean the Dachshund, but that's another story for another routine. How are you, Rachel Abbott?
I'm great, Alex. How are you?
Very well indeed. And we have not one but two midweek drivettes in the studio, Shaylee McKenzie and Rebecca Duncan. Rebecca's actually making her debut on the whole production because she's a public relations soul in the first year of her public relations degree here at the University of Lincoln.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, it's that enthusiasm that sort of is dynamic in so many ways. Rachel, of course, you weren't a University of Lincoln girl, but that's all right. We can forgive you for that because you've got Bean the Dachshund. Where exactly did you do? You were a University of Westminster graduate, if I recall.
Yes, that was me. Yeah.
And as we say on the running order, a premier on broadcast producer / voiceover artist. How's life in the on broadcast world? Are you still actually coordinating the photo? I mean, is Amy learning from you in the same way as Luke Skywalker might have learnt from Yoda? Not that I'm comparing you to Yoda here, but I'm just sort of rolling it out there.
Yeah, she's great. She's amazing. Good. Yeah, on broadcast is really good, and we've got a new guy who is standing next to me now called Andrew.
Andrew, welcome to Siren FM. Oh, Lord. Do you know, I could visualise the old on-broadcast studios because, you know, we had a little wander around there. Rachel wasn't there at the time because she likes to avoid me when I'm in London. No, exactly. Where you are now, describe the setting, Andrew. Describe what we can actually see if we were looking through your eyes.
Right, OK. So, well, we're, for the benefit of your listeners, we're the guys on the other end of the journalists that you hear. So we're staying in touch with them, giving them stories or liaising with them, just having chats and providing the guests. So what we do is actually we have a load of clients that sort of want their sort of voices on the radio, and we'll bring them into our studios and they'll ring in via our studios to you guys. And that's where your listeners sort of get all that banter, get all the stories, get all the data that we put together. And that's what we do. So our studio actually probably looks a lot like yours.
Yes, with knobs and dials and things. Strangely enough, we're doing a feature tomorrow, not with On Broadcast. I won't mention the company that we're working with them on, but it's all about
Alex.
Something. I know. I'm sorry. But it is quite an interesting one because it's all focusing on new research by Barclaycard, which has suggested that British men spend more on clothes, shopping, and grooming each month when compared to women.
Not in my room.
Oh. And you totally see it. I mean, if you ever sort of read GQ magazine, the amount that men are starting to spend on their grooming products and on clothes every month is obscene these days. You know, we're sort of getting gender equality in that respect.
Indeed, the survey suggests that men are spending £114 each month on clothes and shoes, which the equivalent is about £300 more each year than women. I mean, Rebecca, are you staggered by that fact?
Wow, yeah, definitely. I thought that it was women that spend the most, but it's really interesting to hear that.
Not according to Barclaycard. Rachel, has that thrown you, or is it a case of, no, my heart is with Bean these days?
I still look after myself. I mean, looking at Andrew, I don't think he spends that amount of money on himself.
I find it absolutely outrageous to hear that some men, in fact, the average man, is spending £114, was it, a month on clothes. How much would you say that you average every month?
Oh, that's a tough question, really. I mean, it's not in... I like to make my own, actually. Sackcloth and ashes, really. I'm just an academic. That's what we do.
Do you have a woolly jumper that your mum knitted at all?
Yeah, funny enough, the little bubbles are actually up there as I speak, really. Never mind. It sort of adds a certain homeliness at this time of the year, I feel. It's like comfort food, really. In case you're wondering who's going to be talking about this on the programme tomorrow, it's Josh Newis-Smith, who's actually the TV presenter and fashion celebrity director in Style magazine. Anyway, Shaylee, any thoughts from yourself?
That's definitely not the case in my relationship. Mm-hmm. Working for a amazing brand of clothing, I'm definitely the one that spends more on grooming and clothing than my other half. Mm-hmm. In fact, I buy him clothes, mm-hmm. so otherwise he'd still be wearing clothes from when he was about 18.
I mean, I can sense that Amy Stone will probably have riders put on her contract, but before she actually signed for On Broadcast, she needed to have at least a £5,000 a day clothing allowance.
Definitely. Good girl.
It's important. It's worthwhile, though. So anything else you'd like to add, Shaylee?
I can't think of anything. No,
it's stunned. Rebecca. From the public relations side and the broadcast world, I mean, Andrew's defined the role of their sort of scenario. They produce so much good stuff to ensure that our entertainers and throughout the country, radio stations effectively, if On Broadcast just stepped aside, would be lost. We just have dead air. That's all. We just practically have
static.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Well, obviously what they do is extremely important. Helps the listeners get all the information and all these new interesting things. So I think, great. Good job. Keep going.
Thumbs up from our South African-born, Italian-based undergraduate public relations, Rebecca Duncan. It's definitely... And how is Bean? We've talked about it. We mentioned him several times. Bean actually is... when I feel a little bit...
Is Bean a dog?
Yes, exactly. He's not has-been, let's face. He's not Mr. Bean. Yes. He's Bean Canine.
Bean like coffee. Like a coffee bean.
Very good.
Nice.
Yeah, see what she did there. Yeah, as opposed to a Mexican jumping bean.
A baked bean.
Of course. Does a lot of jumping. Yep, does a lot of jumping. She's a special dog. She's from the Dogs Trust because we do a lot of work with them. I thought it was time to get a dog that was rescued.
I love that.
She's got three little legs. Well, three and a half. The half is a flip, I call it, not a disability. Mm-hmm. And she's great. She has carers for quite most of the week. But she comes in once a week. I think tomorrow she's in. Hopefully.
I can always tell when the guests and co-presenters have been introduced to Bean, because it's there. In fact, Bean's probably been charging a fee. She'll have an agent now. We don't know what'll be happening. A range of that. And it'll just sort of work our way through that basis. Shaylee, would you...
You mustn't get an agent before me, Alex.
Yeah, Alex.
It's very true, actually. You know, Rachel, sometimes her riders can be, you know, it's like Beyoncé. It pales by comparison, really. Anyway,
yeah, I like the Marzipan.
Would you like to put those last two questions to Amy and Andrew and Rachel, who have basically stopped commuting through that wonderful thing in London to get home, etc., just to actually do the show tonight?
Go nice, yeah, indeed. So, guys, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with Siren FM today?
Yes, we have.
We really have. And this is my first time on Siren as well, so hopefully...
Welcome.
And do I detect a slight Northern Ireland accent there, Andy? Is there just...
It is indeed. I've actually been here for 7 years.
Have you? I have, yeah.
He's been hiding in the cupboard, Rachel. Have you not seen him? For goodness sakes.
I've been here 7 years, and people always say to me over here, oh, you've got the strongest Belfast accent, and when I go home, they're like, you've got no Belfast accent at all anymore.
Need to put him together with Andy Kerr, obviously.
Definitely. He's now back that in needs Belfast. To happen, exactly. Yeah.
Anyway, and of course, AB Stone, go for it. Will they return?
Will you return in the near future?
Yes, of course.
Absolutely. Always.
Excellent news.
Are you guys covering the London Boat Show this year, or is that something I can't ask at this particular stage? You can employ the Fifth Amendment if you're not.
No,
but,
no comment.
BBC.
We'll be there. Up next, Larry Nemechek in California talking about Star Trek Discovery. I thank you. John Forte, Roswell. Now I'm in the streets again, a little crazy. Look at here. Look at shorty got back. Should I ask her for a dance? Hold on, there's too many in the wolf pack. And besides, dirty cats talking to her. Buying her fake furs and taking her to the fever. Quiet as it's kept, they ain't even it's been. She spends his Franklin's at the malls with her friends. Material girl living in a material world. But it's alright, cause it's Saturday night. So Mr. Funkmaster, pump the BGs. And all you college students playing Ouija's. Check the spelling R-E-F-U-G-E. E, get the CD from Sam Goody. You ain't even close with the rhymes that you wrote. Don't be mad cause you broke. Let me clear my throat. John Forte, grab the mic, don't sway this way.
I'm more than just a rhymer, you still a small timer. Hoping at the game, treat that ass a little kinda. Every step tangoed, yo beef don't concern me. I'm eating mangoes in Trinidad with attorneys. My crew slang flow worldwide like a current. Went to every spot where nobody got insurance. Rubber do the math, you ain't half the exotic. My man's claim true, you forget about it. Ho-ho, just a new stance, like my influence. Well recognized, you a lie trying to do it. Got juice, told your lady, oops, we nuts, baby. Smooth and charismatic, automatic, you gon' save me. God bless the dead as my son survive. We strive to teach you, baby, and stay alive and fly.
Refugee camp, nuts, baby. John Ford say, yeah, watch your lady.
Watch your lady, yeah. All right. Especially around dirty girls. Yo.
You got more than a dollar in your pocket right now. Put your hands.
Yeah. Well, you can't tell by the way I roll, shorty, that I'm a ladies' man. A businessman.
You see, somehow I just can't see James T getting down to that whole notion. Maybe beyond Antares, but, you know, Wycliffe Jean featuring Refugee. We trying to stay alive. We are trying to stay alive. Isn't that right, Larry Nemechek? Are you trying to stay alive?
I am, and I think we're all doing a good job of it so far.
Very true. So, I mean, what can I say? Wycliffe Jean and Al Green in the same Star Trek Discovery episode. Al Green and Wycliffe Jean. It's the 23rd century. It's just gone crazy.
It is science fiction, so.
Anything's possible, Alan.
To me, it all started off with the J.J. Abrams reboot, with, of course, the Beastie Boys being featured. They went all Beastie Boys, and suddenly we lost all this whole notion of Beyond Antares. As you know, I'm very much a believer in the whole notion, Larry, of stepping into Eden, yay, brother, stepping into Eden. Original tunes.
You're a purist, Alex.
We reach, exactly. Quick introductions, because one of our Midweek Drive team has to leave us in a few moments. She's born in South Africa. She lives in Italy. Would you like to give a shout-out for your parents, by the way? Obviously, Mr. and Mrs. Duncan in Italy, because they might be able to listen to this on a podcast thing.
Yeah, definitely. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you.
I feel as though it's like putting together undergraduates with their parents across the airwaves.
Thank you, Alex. Just wondering.
And Star Trek in Italy, is it a series you've ever connected with at all?
Actually, no, not from Italy, but definitely my dad. He loves the original Star Trek series and kind of speaks about it a little bit with me. And I think it's really interesting, all about the Vulcans and live long and prosper. So I know a little bit about that.
Would you like to say live long and prosper in Italian, please, Rebecca? No. Okay, that's all right. We'll have the translation sorted out there. He was, I think, he'd be Klingon, be a whole range of things to that. So just step away from that whole system there. Larry, how's the series going for yourself? I mean, I can't believe we're what, 7 episodes in? It's just scooting by, really.
It is. There's so much angst about it at the beginning, but it seems to be settling in, and people... It's funny, I think a lot of the naysayers there's still people have issues, but people are seeing where the show is evolving too, because with the evolution in writing, the show couldn't help but evolution, it could evolve that way also. And I think a lot of people were shocked in a pleasant way by the
by the party show by staying alive.
It was interesting
to make sane men go mad.
And we're going in with love and happy to Al Green. Let's not forget we had the return of Harcourt Fenton Mudd. Harry Mudd is back with us. Shaylee, have you crossed that boundary as yet? Have you crossed that boundary to the galaxy? Have you started seeking out people who have extra flashes of insight, ESP generation things and so on? Or is it just a case of, no, I'm still actually waiting to binge watch the entire 15 episodes or perhaps the first 9 episodes before Christmas and then the remaining ones after?
So, having not been a Star Trek fan, I'm now a convert. However, having seen some of the older series, I do have to admit that, first of all, the Klingons, like how did they evolved so much that they don't even look similar or resemble the original Klingons at all. It's shocking. Like the new Klingons are definitely scarier in my eyes, but no, yeah, definitely really enjoying the current series.
There we are, alternate dimensions.
But I still like Star Wars more. Sorry,
it's going so well, Larry.
Sorry,
it's going
not sorry.
So well until I mean, you know, you do realise tomorrow morning we actually will be having in this very studio Chris Dowes, who writes the Treknology column in Star Trek Monthly magazine.
Ah,
yeah, he's not only is he a colleague, he is also we are working on how can we collectively put Dowes, Leftuke, the Midweek Drive team together to get Larry Nemechek to the University of Lincoln. It's going to happen. There we are. It's sort of all wondrous.
Oh, I like that. I like that plot. Okay. Of all the plots in the world, I like that.
So, plots. All the gin joints you're going to go. Oh, that was Casablanca. Maybe it's a holodeck version.
He's looking at you, kid.
In terms of favourite episodes so far, Larry, how's it sitting for yourself? I mean, I must admit, I still would say Letha for me was the number one of the ones I've seen so far, obviously.
I haven't had a favorite jump out at me. I'm just enjoying sitting. It's been so long since we've had new episodes of Star Trek out that I'm just enjoying watching them. I like the way that they're overall evolving. I am seeing people jumping out and talking about, oh, this is my favorite. I've seen some people say this is my favorite so far every week. So I don't know. Sorry, maybe we need a little distance here.
We'll do that.
I just think that just reflects the way it's overall, evolving.
We will,
more from
with your permission, have the chance to talk about that with Jason Whittaker, who's with us on the programme next week, Larry. Again, it's been short and sweet. We've still got Natasha Armstrong and Phil Leonis. And we also have to mention that if you're interested in the Amazon writing competition, it'll happen tomorrow morning, okay? I promise you it'll happen tomorrow morning. Details of the Christmas writing competition for Amazon will happen tomorrow morning. Larry, though, would you like to ask Rebecca Duncan from Northern Italy?
Yes.
How she found her first 90 minutes of the Midweek Drive, because as we all know, the first time on a programme, and you remember the first time we connected, Larry, it was pre-Sci-Fi Scarborough, and then you had the disappointment of meeting me a few months later.
Oh, no.
So would you like to, in this case, turnabout is fair play, not turnabout intruder, because that's when we have agenda, so it's all very strange.
Nice.
Would you like to ask those last two questions, please, Larry?
Yes. Have you enjoyed? Oh boy, you're putting me on the spot. Have you enjoyed your time on Midweek Drive today?
Yes, absolutely. I thought it was really interesting connecting with all different types of people, and I feel that radio, you can connect over, whatever time zones and whatever oceans separate us, and I find that really interesting and really positive.
Our hailing frequencies will always remain open, whatever. And I take it then you will return.
Definitely.
Excellent.
Yes. Thank you very much.
And Shaylee, would you like to reciprocate that with the baton for the two questions before we go into Al Green, in which Michael Burnham actually dances with Tyler? Tyler and
nice.
Burnham, it's an item, it's all there. I feel as though the spores are kind of impacting it.
How she's called Michael as well. I think that's really cool.
There we are. Off you go, please, Shaylee.
Larry, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
I have.
Excellent. Sorry it was cut short, but yeah. Can we rely on you in the future?
Of course.
Excellent.
7 days from now, fingers crossed, Larry Nemechek will be beaming in. Yay!
All right.
Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love. Thank you.
Love and happiness. But wait a minute, something's going wrong. Someone's on the phone. 3 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Talking about how she can make it right. Yeah. Yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone. Yeah. Oh, baby. Love that happened.
And of course, the reward that Natasha Armstrong from The Gift That Keeps On Giving has received is her first Midweek Drive 2018 Midweek Drive calendar. Yes, she's the first person to receive her very own calendar. Did it pass muster, Natasha? Are you happy with your calendar?
Oh, I was very impressed. I thought it looked fabulous.
Shaylee's in there, of course.
Yes, I went round and showed everyone and introduced everyone in my family to all the drivettes on paper.
Exactly.
Nice.
Exactly.
Honoured.
You might have your copy tomorrow morning, Shaylee. You know, I actually dig one out for you, good soul. So you can actually have your own early calendar. So, Natasha, it was fair to say that Shaylee was very impressed that you're off to Japan.
I love it. I can't believe you're going to Japan.
In February.
I hear it's to teach English.
Yes, I'm going to be teaching everyone from 1.5-year-olds up until adults, which is slightly daunting, but the parents come with them until they're 4, I've been promised, so it should be fine.
Oh, excellent. That sounds like such fun.
It'll be hi, domo morigato, and a whole variety of other Japanese phrases.
The only Japanese I can remember is ichi-ni-san.
Nice.
1, 2, 3.
Yep, 1, 2, 3, yep.
See, that's the kind of class that Natasha Armstrong will be developing and evolving. But she's also been wearing the Phil Leonis hat, because Phil these days is so busy. He doesn't have time to actually listen to the whole show. He's got Breakfast
Club. He's dressing
club.
Up as a Mad Hatter.
He's got so many things. He'll hopefully be with us in a few moments. But Natasha, you've been with us from the start, listening in. How's it been sounding to yourself? Any favourite guests? How do you feel about the new recruits, ensigns, in many ways, to the broadcasting world? Keeping a Star Trek reference going there. Rebecca Duncan, so curiously born in South Africa, although she's Italian. Why couldn't she translate live long and prosper into Italian? Maybe
she can't speak it.
We'll chase that up. Yeah. And of course, from West London, we had Christine Perry, as well as Anna Lewis, William Coles, Arthur Weingarten, Ed Fortune, Sarah D, Rachel Abbott, Larry Nemechek. How's it been going with yourself, Natasha? Would you have liked to have been in the studio with us?
I would have loved to be in the studio. I miss you guys so much.
Well.
But no, I thought they did amazing. I thought they came across really well on the radio. I thought they dealt with the questions really well. Rebecca did really well with Arthur's question, bless her. I thought she came across really well. And
He did press the nuclear option straight away, though.
He went straight in there.
Exactly. 35 minutes in the show, and suddenly, bang, whoa, what are we going with this one?
But
yes, yeah. You're in public relations. Would you represent Donald Trump? End of. Exactly.
Short answer,
I did get chills. I did get chills during your conversation about Ragnarok, though, when Ed mentioned that he thought it was very Guardians of the Galaxy. That was literally the first thing I said when I walked out of the cinema.
Well, this is, of course, the key thing. You will have been to see Ragnarok. Did it? I mean, I know you were looking forward to this particular one, Natasha. Was it something which you thought, yes, this is for me?
I was a little bit dumbstruck coming out of it, to be honest, because it threw me a bit, because it was so different, I think, from the other two Thors, which I think is why I really enjoyed it. I laughed a lot more, I think, in this one than the other two. But, I was a bit kind of speechless.
I mean, clearly, you have to discuss whether or not you want to travel through the devil's anus, but I've just said it, you know, once again, it's an extraordinary line. It's a biological term, and it's used in a PG movie, and that's where they travel through.
Interesting.
Exactly. Now, you could tie that in with so many contemporary Hollywood routines, which would just be unbroadcastable, so I won't even go there. But I just thought I'd roll it out. The initial sort of point here with literally 23 minutes to go. Actually, less. You know, Natasha, if we were to ask you, who has been your favourite telephonic co-presenter, who's going to get that vote from you?
I don't know. Anna Lewis was very interested in the TV. I actually managed to spill yogurt all over myself because I wasn't concentrating listening to Anna's story about how her son saved them.
My reaction was something similar. I was just,
you know, people said you're never going to replace Camo from Nashville. I think we have.
I think we've, yeah.
Who's Camo who now?
An equivalent. Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh yeah, I forgot about Camo. Yeah,
exactly.
I'm joking, Camo. We still love you.
Exactly. But yeah, well, so Anna gets the interesting.
It's just the way she so casually came out with it. Yeah, yeah. No wonder you spilled your yogurt.
She just sort of offhand sort of just mentioned it, and I was just like, what has she just said? Please give me details.
Yeah, you see, the journalist in you always working overtime on that particular basis, which is great stuff. Well, that's good. Natasha, are you happy to join us again next week? Because I feel, again, just like Larry, we've had to squeeze in so much, and I know we've got another packed show next week, but will you be able to return in about a week's time?
I should be able to, providing I'm back from London at this point.
Well, this is true. And, of course, we need to look at how we connect with you when you're in the joys of Japan. But that's not for a few months yet. So good stuff as far as that's concerned. I think it's a round of applause for Natasha Armstrong, which is great stuff there. And what we'd actually like to hear, we've had a little bit of the Ragnarok speech. Let's go for some arpeggios, courtesy of Miss Tyler and Mr. Steinman. Thank you.
Music in our bodies on the radio. 174 years. 174 years since Charles Dickens finally sent out The Joys of Scrooge and Ebenezer and the Christmas Carol to the world, and it's been reimagined and reimagined and revamped, and there's an opportunity now to actually get involved with a reimagining of A Christmas Carol with a nationwide writing competition. We're delighted to welcome, to provide some advice with respect to that, the author, the legendary author of Sol the Slug's Night Before Christmas. That would be the amazing Lucy Banks. How are you, Lucy?
I'm good, thank you.
And the equally wonderful children's book illustrator and author extraordinaire, Ian Beck. How are you, Ian?
Good morning, thank you. I'm very well indeed, thanks.
Wonderful. Lucy, you were last year's competition winner. You know the secret to success. Talk to us about this particular element that's been put through in terms of the way of actually putting together a reimagining of this whole scenario, which is actually worth a £2,000 Amazon gift card. So that's not to be sneezed at.
It isn't, no. I think anyone who's thinking of entering, I think a good starting point is to revisit A Christmas Carol and think about what's so wonderful about it, because it is one of the finest Christmas books out there, really. And also just think about what kids like, you know, what really inspires them, what engages them, what excites them. And test it out on children as well, definitely.
The test, of course, of all good literature is it kind of has a resonance throughout the ages, and it doesn't matter whether it's Dickens, whether it's Lewis Carroll, whether it's Ben Jonson, Shakespeare, and so on. It echoes through this whole process. And Ian, is that also key to the notion of success, that, you know, ultimately these narratives and the narratives that Dickens put in place, we may not have the equivalent of, well, we do have the equivalent of Tiny Tim in this pre-Brexit culture, but the messages are still the same in terms of how the human condition operates.
Exactly. I mean, you can think of many modern situations. You have the family, the Cratchit family in the original Christmas Carol, are on a kind of basic wage. They're very, poor people with a very fierce employer. You can imagine all kinds of modern situations where you can put that. I mean, the Christmas Carol story, although it's an original story by Dickens, is also now, it's a kind of folk tale. You know, you could tell it to each other in a few words. And I mean, this competition, you've only got 1,000 words to tell your story, whereas Dickens probably had about 30,000 words. So you've got to think very carefully about the length of your story, how many words you're using, and making those words sing.
Indeed. And unlike Dickens, you don't have to write it with a quill pen either. So,
Indeed,
it would be quite interesting.
If you wanted to.
Lucy, Sol the Slug, lived under the floorboards of a family home and assumed Christmas didn't apply to him until he met Father Christmas. It was that, I mean, heart-rending. I can only see a sequel in which Sol the Slug meets Bean the Dachshund as a sort of way forward. But share with us from your own point of view, Lucy, in terms of, you know, what inspired you to come up with Sol?
I have to confess, I have a house that's absolutely riddled with slugs. so it was very much one day I was sitting in my lounge, and as usual, I noticed the slug trails all over the rug, which was lovely. And then I noticed actually it was glittering in the sun and it looked rather artistic. So I thought, well, that's actually a nice way of turning it on its head, you know, this much maligned creature actually producing something rather beautiful. So that was my starting point with it. But obviously, I was concerned that perhaps people wouldn't love the slug quite as much as I did. But it was actually my children that said, no, you must enter it. And that's why I did.
Exactly. Now, as we mentioned, this competition is being run by Amazon. It's open to all adult UK residents. It'll be judged by a team of book editors and so on. Just talk us through the kind of the criteria and the sort of lines that, well, obviously we've already said it's 1,000 words. When are the deadlines, the dates, when do people actually need to get their work in by and so on?
It's the 7th of November is the deadline for that, and it's a word limit of 1,000 words, so they mustn't go over that, which is going to be quite tight, so they're going to have to use words very carefully.
Exactly.
And details clearly on the Amazon website, presumably, or is there another go-to website to find out details about the aspect of the competition as well?
What was the
I'm sure we'll be able to find the Amazon. I mean, it's a reasonably well-known website, so I think in terms of writing competition and various other factors, that should tie with that. We want to sort of just consider a few words of advice here, because there are three areas that you've suggested in terms of having the view from the perspective of a child, a child's eye view, picturing the story, and one thing which I thought was quite interesting, reading aloud the story to actually get a sense of the whole thing. I mean, Ian, is that something that, from your own point of view, that works?
I think so. I think reading aloud, even to yourself, but hopefully also to a listener, brings out the fault lines in what you've written, I find. The awkward sentence or the thing that sounds rather pretentious or silly and doesn't need to be there stands out if you read it aloud to somebody. It's a very good tip, I think, to read aloud what you've written.
And it's a good way to actually roll the R's when you talk about round and around the garden.
Indeed. My first book.
The Teddy Robber. So many areas. I mean, you know, if ever there was a sort of narrative that is crying out for being the dachshund, you can see I'm on a roll here, but still, never mind. Have we got those details in terms of where people can actually access the competition? Is it just a case of go to the Amazon website to find out details and go from there?
Amazon.co.uk/ Chris T. Mason Kindle.
Excellent. That's. You could also email.
Or is that
entries.
Christmas on Kindle?
I think it's Christmas on Kindle.
I think I've got very strange spacing in front of me here. I divided the sentence up into two lines.
It's the magic of the English language when actually translated.
I must say, I had pictured a character called Chris T. Mason. There's the hero of your story.
Exactly.
I've done the work for you.
But in terms of emailing your entries, you need to send it to Christmas on Kindle at Amazon.co.uk.
Exactly.
That's Christmas on Kindle at Amazon.co.uk. Splendid stuff. Will you be re-entering at all, or is it a case of once you've won, you can't go any further, Lucy?
No, I'm certainly not allowed to re-enter.
No, I didn't think so.
I will be judging this year, which I'm very much looking forward to.
Marvellous. It's going to be a fantastic sort of result, and results presumably released before Christmas, I would have thought.
Yes, I have a very tight deadline to make the pictures to go with the story. I'm going to be hard at work in my little shed in the garden.
Ian, I'm pleased to hear that you actually have a shed in the garden. It's just works wonderful. It carries with it, you know, a whole new series of narratives. For the moment, though, have you both had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme this morning? Has it been okay for you guys?
We have.
It's been lovely, yes.
Apart from Mr. Mason, who I seem to have invented.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you need to just let the narrative explore itself, really. These characters. And remember the classic line of cosmologists that in many versions of reality, our fiction is somebody else's reality and vice versa.
Exactly.
So I take it then, Ian and Lucy, you'll be able to join us again in the not-too-distant future and keep us appraised of life, the universe, and indeed judging competitions. Will you be kind enough to return sometime?
Whenever you wish.
Of course, yes.
Thanks.
Marvellous. There we are. That's the Christmas Carol adaptation competition for Amazon Folk. £2,000 gift voucher. Not to be sneezed at. Give it a go.
Definitely go for it.
And actually, no age range, so you're okay with that.
Excellent. I've got 6 days to turn it out.
Precisely. That's the critical thing. We needed two people to actually step in to fill Dennis's little gap there. Not really intended. Who would have thought it, Shaley, that we would have gone through Anna Lewis, William Coles, Arthur Weingarten, Ed Fortune, Ian and Lucy Banks, and Ian the illustrator, Sarah D, Rachel Abbott, Larry Nemechek, and Natasha Armstrong. And, of course, welcome to brand new Midweek Drivettes, Rebecca and Christine. But we did it.
What a show.
Poetry coming up next with Word Perfect. Probably the last, I believe, live Word Perfect on a Wednesday before they shift to Saturdays and weekends.
Oh,
so I've
interesting.
Heard. You'd have to sort of really. They might reveal that on the show. They might choose not to. They might.
Nice.
Who knows what they'll actually be doing? But we are out with a little touch of Heat Wave, and then probably just a smidgen of Demi Lovato. We haven't even had a chance to do a Thought for the Universe from Mike Dooley. But we will be back tomorrow with the Midweek Drive Morning Edition. Chris Dowes is going to be in the studio. We've got Richard Fitzwilliams back, I believe, from Florence, with possibly his views on Thor. We've got this survey about men spending more than women in terms of fashion and various other bits and pieces, and a whole heap of other things, including the weather from Gibraltar with Gabriella Peralta. You're listening to Siren Radio, bringing you the very best, because frankly you deserve no less. I know it's not an official strap line, but I thought I'd just drop that in there. Would you like to say farewell, Shaley?
Farewell.